What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, producer of 411 Teen. Students Against Destructive Decisions Program, SAD, encourages middle, high, and college students to live safe, healthy lifestyles. SAD's mission is to provide students with the best prevention tools possible to deal with the issues of underage drinking, other drug use, risky and impaired driving, and other destructive decisions. SAD educates students, parents, and the community about the prevention of all destructive behaviors that are harmful to young people. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Danielle Branciforte. Danielle is the state coordinator for SAD.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Also, we have Tyrone Smith. Tyrone is the Director of Creative Initiatives for Students and Families at the Quincy House in Gadsden County.
Hi, Dr. Hollyfield. Glad to be here.
Julianne Chester. Julianne is the Program Manager for Drive with Care, Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hollyfield.
Welcome to 411 Teen. I just look forward to talking with you and having you share all your wealth of knowledge and information with my listening audience. I'll start with SAD. Talk about SAD, Danielle. I mean, how did it evolve? I know it started out as MAD, right?
No, it started out as Students Against Drunk Drivers.
Students Against Drunk Drivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was always its own organization separate from MAD, but it started around the same time MAD did in 1984 in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And it was as a direct result of a high school losing three of their athletes in a crash.
Okay.
And their coach then started Students Against Drunk Driving. And it evolved over time to encompass other things besides drinking and driving or impaired driving or distracted driving, although that is still our main criteria.
So it's expanded now.
It has expanded.
Yeah, okay.
And because of that, the students themselves in 98 changed the name from Students Against Drunk Drivers to Students Against Destructive Decisions. So that way, it broadened their area of topics and the things that are relevant and important to them in their schools.
Now, how long have you been involved with SAD?
I've been with SAD for 2 years.
Okay. All right. And what was the appeal? I mean, I would think it'd be very interesting to be involved with this organization.
It's been just wonderful.
Especially student-run, right? Basically.
Yeah. Well, throughout my career, I've worked with students, and I've always, in college, I taught college, and one of the classes I taught was college success skills, how to be a successful person. And all of those things in that class are the kind of things that are being done through SAD, but on a younger level. Because by the time I was teaching it at college, I saw that, boy, if these students hadn't had this information at a younger age, imagine how much more empowered they would be going through middle school and high school. And
now, with the expansion, you're looking at things like violence and suicide and some of the other issues that exist today.
Yeah. We address, in fact, every month I do a newsletter. Mm-hmm. And I spent the day doing the October newsletter. And in that one, I have bullying, I have Domestic Violence Month, National Depression Awareness Day, all of those topics that are not just specific to adults. They have their own unique needs amongst our youth.
And influence their decision-making.
And influence their decision-making, exactly.
Now, Julianne, will you share, I know you're the program manager of CARE. What is CARE? Tell me what CARE is about.
Drive with CARE is a grant-funded program that we receive funding from the Department of Transportation. And CARE stands for Courtesy, attention, responsibility, and experience. And we believe that these are the four keys that students need to develop in becoming good, safe drivers. So we have an outreach program that we do in high schools. We also have a website that we maintain and a guide that we print for parents and teens that help them learning the various skills they need to develop to become safe drivers.
Okay. Share with us the contact information, because you mentioned you've got web. How would people contact you?
Yes, our website is FLHSMV, which stands for Florida Highway Safety Motor Vehicles, .gov.
Okay, and they can just go on there.
And they can go to our website, and they can contact us from there. The website actually has two components to it. It has a side for parents to enter, and it has a side for teens. So the teen side is written and developed in their language, and so that it's encouraging them on a more peer-to-peer level. And the parent side really helps parents understand some of their coaching activities that they want to be involved in developing those driving skills with their teen.
Okay. And Tyrone, you are the director of Creative Initiative for Students and Families. What is that?
Creative Initiatives for Students and Families is a nonprofit organization that works with community organizations such as SAD and CARE, along with partnerships with Tallahassee Community College 21st Century Programs to create preventative measures through mentorship in the areas of Gadsden and Jefferson County specifically. Okay. And we work very hard to provide mentorship and the extras that programs cannot offer. Due to grant stipulations or requirements, things of that nature, we work to create those extra opportunities for students to have a better opportunity overall holistically.
Well, I commend all of you because, the whole preventative direction is the way to go. We know that wait until the problem occurs and then intervening, you're already behind the eight ball. And
so, unfortunately, prevention is not something that's measurable. And I'm a nonprofit as well, and we depend on grants. And oftentimes when you're writing a grant proposal, they want you to include the statistics. But how can you prove that a young person made a good decision instead of making that bad decision? It's very hard to measure that.
And as a result, one thing we've done with Creative Initiatives is we track students from elementary school, actually, through middle into high school and into college. And the way we do it is by creating programs to encourage students to continue with us. And so we created a summer camp program that led into after schooling. However, we did not want to take away from community organizations, so we've partnered to infuse and stem students through their programs.
Okay, that's a good way. And then you keep contact, you keep tabs on where they are and what their attitudes are about and what they're involved.
Right.
Now, if someone hears this and wants to become involved or connected or related, what do they do?
They can contact us at the TCC Quincy House. That's where we're housed presently as TCC, as a TCC representative. I have a couple hats. And so one of my hats is the assistant manager there. They can come to 216 North Adams Street there in Quincy, Florida, and they can sign up and ask any questions. We have brochures available, things of that nature, as well as they can contact us online at cisff.us.
Okay. What about SAD? Now, I know it's in various schools. What if someone wants to become involved in SAD, wants to join it? Danielle, what's the process? What do they do?
Well, I regularly get emails from parents or students or teachers asking me that very thing. Mm-hmm. We have 260 chapters across the state, and for privacy reasons, I don't publicize that list, but anyone can contact me and I can put them in touch with their local SAD chapter. And if they don't have a SAD chapter, I can help them start one. There's no fee to have a SAD chapter. You just fill out a short registration form. And then I'll do anything I can to help make sure that that happens for that person. And it doesn't have to be in a school. We have several SAD chapters. We have it at Quincy House with Tyrone's group. Mm-hmm. I have it chapters in boys' clubs, in girls' clubs, in churches. So okay. It's not just a school-based program.
So in a lot of different arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about care? I mean, where do they – I know they can contact you on the web, and I know you through the Florida Highway Safety. But are you out there? Are you in the schools? How does that work? Give me a little bit.
Yes. We look at every year at the statistics to see which counties have the greatest crash and fatality rate with teenagers, and we focus on going into those counties and to those schools.
What are those? Do you know?
Yes.
Would you share that with us? That's really great information.
Miami-Dade, Broward, Hillsboro, Duval, and Orange are the ones that we've served this last year. Mm-hmm. Palm Beach also ranks very high. Part of the reason, you know.
I was going to ask you, what's the reason? Well, what are you finding, you know, that influences?
Part of the reason is those are very large counties mm-hmm. to begin with, so therefore their population is much greater, and they're going to, as inexperienced drivers are going to have crashes, you're going to have more inexperienced drivers on the roads there, and therefore they do rise to the top. But when we look at the middle range in terms of the size of counties, in that middle range group, we also find counties like Leon, Alachua, Bay. So it's really a problem, I think, that we see across the state. And, mm-hmm. and regardless of the size of the county, we have a real opportunity to reach out and try to help teens as they're beginning to learn how to drive. Mm-hmm. To learn what it is that they need to be aware of to make the wise decisions as they're learning to become drivers.
Well, I know one thing that has changed, and that is driver education. What influence, and I throw this out to all of you, what influence have we found that not having it? We don't have it. Not, I mean, it used to be required, at least when I was... Of course, that's back in 1902. Okay. But you know, in a different part of the country and everything, but you had to take driver education. And I'm wondering, you know, what influence, what impact that has had, or maybe it doesn't have any. I don't know.
Well, there are some studies that are being done about what's happened with driver's ed not being in some of the schools. But I can tell you that parents are very vocal about it. Parents really, in the past, have relied on driver education mm-hmm. as the basis for how their teen learned to drive. We are trying to stress the importance of the parent learning how to be a driving coach and being a model to the teens. We have a program we do for parents, and that's why we have the parent piece to our website. And the coalition that Danielle and I serve on for Florida Safe Teen Driving, there again, we're focusing on getting parents to understand how important their role is in helping their teen learn how to drive safely. So in the communities that are missing driver's ed, I know this past week's been in the news in Bay County. There's a group of parents that are working closely with their local commissioners because they want to see it get back in the schools. I can say in Hillsborough County, they have been able to maintain driver's education in their schools.
How'd they do that?
I don't know. I think that it's just been probably something that was just very important to them, and probably creative budgeting as well. Miami-Dade, when we started there 6 years ago, we had 25 schools that we used to visit that had driver's ed, and they're down to a handful now. Cutbacks in budgets have really affected and impacted the program. And, of course, gas prices don't help.
No, that's true.
And also, the death of teens continues to be on the most critical issue because it's the number one reason that kids are killed. Our kids are killed is car accidents, car mm-hmm. crashes. Mm-hmm. And so our Florida Teen Safe Driving Coalition is working to try and reduce that across the state. And as Julianne said, she and I are on that coalition, and I'm hoping to rope in a few people, other people on that coalition. And we've been asked to lead the Department of Transportation Safety Office on their strategic plan for teen safe driving. So here in Florida, our safety office, I give them great kudos. They are recognizing that the teen driver issue is critical and that we need to address it. And so we are now.
And yeah, one thing that emerged, we found out with Creative Initiatives for Students and Families, that there's a law now by Florida that there's a four-hour mandatory class that all teenagers have to take. And it's concerning drug abuse and texting while driving, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So we've created that course there at the Quincy House, where we offer it twice a month on the second and fourth Saturdays of every month, where students actually have to come in and they sit through a four-hour course that has a workbook with it, mm-hmm. as well as actual video showing different instances of texting and driving and drinking and driving.
My question is that just with teens? What about that person who is a teen but really isn't in school? I mean, is there a way around that?
Yes, that's what was amazing.
Let me ask you, hold your thoughts,
definitely.
And we'll get back to you. Tuned into 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I've been talking with Tyrone Smith, who is the Director of Creative Initiatives for Students and Families, Danielle Branciforte. Danielle is the state coordinator for Florida SAD, and Julianne Chester, who is the program manager for Drive with Care. We've been talking about particularly driving. I had to interrupt you, Tyrone, but would you continue?
Yes, it's ironic that when we opened this program up, we thought that it would be designed for 14 and 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
We found that our majority of students and participants in this program are actually 18 and 19, 23 and 25.
But now, is that required for them? Is this just an initiative on their own?
It's required for them as well now.
So up to what age, I guess I'm trying to find?
Our
do you
oldest
know?
Was about 53.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, so I'm thinking
but
it's
when
all drivers
required, now. Oh, it's required for all
drivers.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's positive.
Exactly.
You have to complete that course prior to getting your learner's license.
Correct.
So,
okay.
Regardless of your age.
Regardless of the age.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, what are you all, you've referred to a lot, Danielle, and I know you, Julianne, about the Florida Teen Safe Drivers Coalition. What is that? What?
It was started in January of 2011 by Allstate and the National Safety Council.
Okay.
They recognized that on a national level we were not doing enough to assist our teens in being good drivers. And so they identified 10 states, and we were one of them.
Okay.
And So we have been working hard to develop this coalition. And over the past year, we've done several events. We have partnered with the Student Government Association here in Florida, mm-hmm. and we co-hosted their statewide conference, and we were able to reach 1,000 teens. We gave workshops and presentations, and we had a safety fair. We had a conference in Tampa. We had a program we borrowed from Julianne's office, and a program called Whiteout, Teen Crashes. And we developed a guidebook for that, and we had 29 schools across the state participate in the month of May in doing a Whiteout Teen Crashes program. And it was selected by Allstate to be a best practice, and now is being done in all of the other states that have Teen Coalition program.
Okay. When we talk about healthy lifestyles, what do you mean? I mean, I'd like to hear your definition, each of you, from your perspective. What is a healthy lifestyle, and what are the components of healthy lifestyles that we are looking at?
For teens.
For teens. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we live in an era of instant communication and instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And so it has changed so dramatically from when I was a teen. There, of course, there's a lot of things that are similar, and I'm 60 now, so it's been a long time since I was a teen. But when I work with my teens, and Tyrone, you probably see this all the time, for me, those students that are the most successful are those who stay true to themselves. They develop a core set of beliefs, and they honor those beliefs, and they honor those beliefs in the people around them. So they don't impose their beliefs and opinions on others, and they don't allow others to do the same to them. So those teens that I've seen in our SAD chapters are the ones who, like Tyrone was saying, they live holistically. They look at the whole picture. They take into account their own personal moral standards and also the greater good for their schools and their mm-hmm. community, and they work cooperatively towards that. And those folks are the most successful.
What I found with students is it's very important to point out the psychological health and standing of our students now. Because students are coming from different homes, different cultures, different mentalities and mindsets, many of the belief systems and things of their parents have not been passed down properly. Mm-hmm. And so now there's left a disconnect between the parent and the student, and psychologically it changes the student in different ways because they're being exposed to that intellectual sense with technology. Mm-hmm. And so there's a creative divide there. And then parental is huge. Parental health, what happens in the home. Many mm-hmm. students, middle school on up, mom says, hey, long as you can cook the hot dog and know to keep the door locked, then you're okay. And so we experience a lack of attention and mentoring from mm-hmm. the parent. And that really alters the health, the overall health of a student. And then character. The student's personal character, which Danielle just stated, it makes a whole lot of difference. There's an element of resilience that some students have and others don't. And so it's vitally important to develop students with their character. And it often entails students who may not make the better decisions, but you can't send them away or mm-hmm. excommunicate them. But you have to let them know that it's okay to fail, it's okay to mess up, but it's not okay to continue mm-hmm. to err in that same way. Mm-hmm. And lastly is that intellectual health, academics. Where is a student at when they think about, am I smart? Am I intelligent? Based on their culture and who they're connected to, that can
and some cultures may say you don't need to be smart.
Correct. Okay?
I mean, that's
right.
The other part of it, you
yes.
know. And I guess my question to you all would be, it sounds like the students you're talking about It's like preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. They're already there. They right. wouldn't be coming if they weren't. If they hadn't bought into it, mm-hmm. you know, they wouldn't be in sad.
However, and I have to say also that these kids that we're talking about are the majority.
Okay.
They are the majority.
Good.
It is that minority, the squeaky wheel person who gets mm-hmm. all of the attention, and mm-hmm. you know that right. kid who's going to drunk
so
and drive and kill
that.
All his classmates. He gets the headlines.
Correct.
That kid who opted not to drink and to drive home safely. Nobody ever hears about that kid.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think people, you know, look at that kid and they generalize that to all teens.
That's right.
Okay, all teens, they're not any good. They're, mm-hmm. you know, they're selfish, they're egotistical, they're narcissistic.
That's
they're
right.
all these things. And that indeed is not the case. They right. are the minority.
That's right. I would love every parent to come to a SAD National Conference, and it's going to be in Orlando this year, by the way. To be in that conference with 1,000 teens from all over the United States, the positive energy in that conference, you are floating on air for the next week afterwards. And it just is such an affirmation of how good our teens really are. And I would so much like for every one of them to be on the news instead of...
Mm-hmm. Right, the negatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to touch on also with what you were saying about the parental influence, and I know all of us will say that here. Every study, regardless of whether it's their driving skills or their homework skills or whatever it is, the number one influencer on our youth is mom and dad or that adult caregiver in the family. And I invite anyone listening, if you have a child, be mindful. That child is watching you. That mm-hmm. child is learning from you.
And that child is watching you early. By the time yeah. they become a teen, they're set.
That's right.
Okay?
That's
so it's not like, oh, my child is a teenager. Now I need... No.
That's
it's
right.
when they're 1, 2, 3, 4.
Correct.
Okay?
That's right.
You know, so that's where they get those standards. That's where right. it's set. You know, that's where it comes from.
That's right.
Julianne, I wanted to ask you about underage drinking. How much of it is going on?
Well, I'm really not an expert on
mm-hmm.
that.
I know
that we
yeah.
do see some of the crashes that are a result of underage drinking. What we see a lot of is distracted driving.
Okay.
Distracted driving is really something of very critical concern to us.
Mm-hmm.
We are finding that people are constantly, they're texting, they're reading their messages, mm-hmm. they're carrying on with their passengers in the back seat, they're eating, they're changing music. And what we're really trying to do is to encourage young people and all people. And that, again, goes back to that role modeling of the adults. We all need to just be focused on driving mm-hmm. because it is a very important activity and it requires all of our senses to do it.
Well, how do we – I guess my question is, though, how do we get to that point? Because I talk with college students I've had on the program, and they will openly admit that they text and drive. I mean, it's not as if, you know, maybe our generation would go, oh, no, we don't do that and do it behind. But they're open to saying, yes, I mean, I know I shouldn't do it, but I do text and drive.
Yeah.
And, I mean, how do you make inroads into to stopping that?
Well, you know, and part of that, I think, is because they say, oh, well, it's just a really short message. If you're
you're distracted. Again,
if you're going 60 miles an hour, and you send the average length of a text message for a young person is approximately 4.5 seconds. You have traveled the distance of a football field. So what we ask them is, would you close your eyes and drive the length of a football field? Well, no, of course you wouldn't.
No.
Well, then why would you take your eyes off the road that 4.5 seconds?
I think you
have to find ways to talk to teens and to share with them what that's really like in ways that they can relate to it. And mm-hmm. that is one way that has definitely been a big help for us, is that time and space.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've found is when it comes down to teens and college students and things of that nature, by now, as you all stated earlier concerning that parental foundation, parental foundations have kind of been set where whatever they turn out to be. And now these students are connecting to whoever their icon is.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I found is holding icons accountable for the messages that they are relaying to our students.
Mm-hmm.
That would, I believe that makes all the difference. I firmly believe that attitudes are reflected by leadership. So who are these students following and where are they going? And what do we as America do about where we are allowing such icons to go?
Well, are those icons receptive? Because I've got a blank right now, but I remember a basketball player who was well known for, and his response was, look, I'm a basketball player. I'm not out here for them to emulate me. And if they do, that's their problem. I don't hold any responsibility. I know it's moot, it's an issue, but I don't hold any responsibility. I live my life like anybody else does. And if teens look up to me or whoever looks up to me, too bad.
And I say to individuals like that,
mm-hmm.
that there is an unspoken responsibility that
Good
we
dear.
All have
mm-hmm.
As being professionals. You are a professional basketball player, and the people who support the basketball industry, these people look up to you. So if individuals would like to be in such a position, then there are some unspoken caveats that comes with the territory. And I believe that each individual just must be responsible to adhere to what's going on. Our political officials have to adhere to the same kind of responsibilities. They are unspoken, unstated, not mandated, but
mm-hmm.
they are yet
mm-hmm.
Very important and very vital.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of the social norm. We need to change the social
yeah.
norm and what
yes.
is acceptable.
Correct.
I know when I was a young woman watching TV, all of the folks on the TV programs were smoking cigarettes and drinking mm-hmm. a gin and tonic.
Right.
Now you don't see them smoking cigarettes anymore. There's no commercials on TV for alcohol or cigarettes anymore.
Right.
It's a cultural norm, and we're just at that beginning stages of trying to shift that norm to make it socially unacceptable to text and drive. You know, now we all wear our seatbelts. It's the law.
It's
well, hopefully
law.
We're going to try and change the law so that there will be a ban on cell phone use.
And another thing, oxymoronically, let me readdress even that statement of icons. Here's where if parenting is done properly, then what happens is as our children grow up, they begin to see, yes, there's a movie star or somebody huge
mm-hmm.
that I like, but at the end of the day, I come home to my icon.
Mm-hmm.
So it brings it back into the culture and into the community as well, because they may see the icon on BET or at a concert, but they're seeing leaders every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are the teachers, what are the principals and the parents doing to be the positive role model to mm-hmm. say this is what's allowable and this is what's not?
How often do you see your teens? I mean, mm-hmm. is it a regular meeting place? How does that work?
I am fortunate to see my teens every day, Monday through Thursday. We partner with an after-school program with Tallahassee Community College, 21st Century Programs, and we have 6 sites, 4 in Gadsden County and 2 in Jefferson County. And I'm able to go around to the after-school programs and identify and deal with these teens on a regular basis in creating programs. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing simply because of a statement you all made, and it's very true, and that is the mass majority of our students, they are pretty good students.
I'm always interrupting you. Hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to take a brief break, but
Thank
we'll
you.
Return momentarily. Thank you. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me at the roundtable, I welcome again Julianne Chester. Julianne is program manager of Drive with Care, Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. Danielle Brancifonte. Danielle is the state coordinator of SAD. And Tyrone Smith. Tyrone is a SAD coordinator for the Quincy House and Creative Initiatives for Students and Families. Okay. I'm going to go to you, Danielle, because I know I have not given you the opportunity to share with the listening audience your contact information. So would you share that for those who may be interested in becoming more involved with SAD, want to know how to contact, how to interact?
I'm happy to. Our Facebook page is Florida SAD, so just go type in Florida SAD and like us there. And our website is Florida SAD, FloridaSAD.org.
Now, SAD promotes a no-use message. Would you elaborate on that? Just what is that?
Well, it's against the law to drink as a minor, and we support that law, and we support all laws. So any behavior that is contrary to that is not anything that we would encourage or support you to do. But as Tyrone was saying earlier, we make mistakes. So if you make a mistake as a SAD student, it's not like that you're going to be ostracized or thrown out of the chapter. You're going to be educated and given the opportunity to learn to make a better decision the next time.
Let's talk some about community involvement, because I know you all can't do this alone, and you have to interface with the community. I'm looking at you, Julianne, so I'll start with you and just move around the table. But how does community involvement work into your Drive with Care program?
We work closely with schools, primarily with teachers, with athletic program directors, with coaches, in some cases with principals. And they, as members of the community, recognize the importance of teen driver safety. And, of course, they're the mentors for those students. They're the teachers and the leaders and the guides. And so that's very important to us. When we're able to share with them what their local statistics are or things that are happening in their community related to teen driver safety, they're very anxious to invite us to come and to speak to their students. And they were getting a cross-section of the student population. We're not just getting SAD chapter kids, or we're not just getting kids that are cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. We're getting them all. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to share with them what's going on in their own community. With our parent program, we try to reach out, and it's a newer program, but we have reached out to places of employment where, like, we could go to an office park where there might be several different organizations that park, but they have a conference room. So we bring in parents from a lot of different walks, perhaps, to come to be a part of our parent presentation and to learn what they can do to coach their teens and help them to become safe drivers.
Well, I commend you on that, because the fact that you go to their place of employment is important, because one thing that parents are often saying, I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. But if it's right there where they're working and they can take a half an hour, 20 minutes, or whatever is necessary, that really makes it a lot easier.
And that's a thing that we hope to expand on in the coming year. And also our coalition that Danielle and I are involved in is expand that outreach to parents. What we're finding is that, and as a parent myself, I have a 19-year-old, so I've just been through most of this and successfully. And what we find, though, is as your teen finishes middle school and moves on into high school, the parent involvement in the school is lessened. And my daughter was in the music program at her high school, and so, of course, I was there for all the concerts and performances, but that was only with the music parents. And it's similar for kids in other programs. Their parents will come because they're on the football team or what have you. So it's really a challenge for us, but one that we are thinking creatively now about where else can we go, how else can we capture the parents, because they're not coming to those regular meetings that we all went to when our young people were in elementary school. But it does take a community working together, and I think that's one of the wonderful things about our coalition is that we have members that are in many different facets. We have the people that are work for state government like myself, and we have people in law enforcement. We have people that are vendors or that are in marketing. We have people that are nurses. We have a judge. And that is the community that it takes to move an effort forward, I think, and to express the importance to everyone about teen driver safety and about distracted driving and helping parents to realize that they are empowered, that they do serve an important, very vital role in their teen becoming a safe driver.
Okay. How does your program encourage, you know, the community?
Right.
And it just sounds like even listening to your program, it's a community-oriented program.
Yes, it is. As far as community involvement, we step out way outside the box, if I may say, with the community. And we work with schools. We started with schools because that's where the children are. And we built on from schools. So we go to schools to find out, okay, what is it that you're offering? And then what is it that you'd like to offer? Well, we found out most schools, they would love to get their students more extracurricular exposure, where would students like to go and things of that nature, career paths and things of that nature. So we went to work, and as a result, we take students on field trips through to the fire department, air traffic control stations, things of that nature, to Capital City Bank, Envision, and have students to do walkthroughs and ask questions and be informed, as well as we have a side two to it, because we've realized with parents, it's very important that you provide a benefit. What are they receiving? A parent has gone to work from 8 in the morning or 7 until in the evening, so they really don't want to spend too much time talking to people like you and I. So as a result, we created opportunities where Envision representatives and Capital City Bank representatives actually come out to the parent nights and things of that nature as schools host them, and actually do presentations on different things like loan education and financial improvement education for parents, as well as we've created and worked very closely with Tallahassee Community College to assist in creating technological improvement courses. It's called Educational Tech at Night Services. They're at the Quincy House. And as a result, we allow parents to come in and improve their skills and abilities so they can apply for better jobs and things of that nature. And so as a community initiative, we've called on the school board representatives and fire department chiefs and things of that nature. But also we've called on parents who want to do better but don't necessarily have the tools and the access to do better.
Okay. So. Now, I know SAD has various ongoing projects like leadership training and conference and rallies and awareness and legislative work. Can you kind of share with us if you have any ongoing projects going on now or what we might anticipate in the future?
Well, through the Teen Safe Driving Coalition, we're establishing a greater relationship with the Student Government Association. We're going to be co-hosting their regional meeting in October in Orlando and their statewide meeting in Palm Beach in March. And we're also collaborating to develop a leadership academy where we are be inviting teens from across the state. And you know, Tyrone, I'm going to be calling on you. We're going to be calling on students from around the state. And in this leadership academy, we've already had FSUs, the police chiefs, many people come together to who will help us put this academy together. So, and I did a survey of the students to see what they wanted to learn from us, and more than the leadership ability, because they get that already in different avenues. They wanted to learn, how do I actually create a community event from the ground up. And how do I approach my local representative, and what sort of language do I need to do, and how do I actually affect change? So that's what we're going to be doing in our academy with our youth. And we were talking about community partners. One of the things with me as a SAG coordinator, I'm me, myself, and I in my office. And what I have – so I've had to reach out to people to help me on this project. And along the journey of the last 2 years, I have come across such extraordinary people like Julianne and Tyrone, mm-hmm. and even yourself with this programming. I've mm-hmm. been a big fan of your program for years. There's been so many people often working in their isolated little corners, mm-hmm. affecting change in their area. And the greatest gift I have had is being able to find these people and to pull them together. And like we're doing in the community, in this coalition, so many different groups who were affecting amazing changes in their community. And now we're going to be able to do it together on a more of a statewide level. It's just a wonderful partnership.
And it's mm-hmm. amazing you say that, Danielle. One of my pet peeves is networking. Mm-hmm. Networking, coming out of your shell mm-hmm. and talking about what you're doing and giving someone else the opportunity to add to and build to what you're doing. And one pet peeve of mine, a very special person, the founder of Creative Initiatives for Students and Families, is Roger Milton. And this young man, he works excruciatingly hard to join different entities and make them work together, and not make them, but he leaves them no choice.
Encourage them.
In a nice way. to work together in order that we all achieve a commonality mm-hmm. in the success of students.
Mm-hmm. It really does take a village.
Yes.
And the village is growing, I'm proud to say.
Yes.
That's good. That's very important, you know, that we have this village and that we recognize the village. And within the village, we've kind of touched on this. There's always the school. And do you see that there are different initiatives that the school, because that school has these kids longer than anything anyplace else.
Right.
Okay. Yes. You know, they have them for a block of time, more so than the parents even, because they mm-hmm. go home, the parents, and they may not be at home. They eat, they do their homework, and they're gone to bed.
I tell you, I would be nowhere and sad if it were not for the school teachers and the adults mm-hmm. in those schools who have stepped up to lead these SAD chapters. Mm-hmm. And in fact, and I'll put in a shameless plug for a different organization, but I will not buy presents for anybody and I won't receive presents from anybody. I ask everybody to donate to donorschoose.org, which is an organization by and for school teachers. So school teachers go in there because, you know, schools now, their funding is being cut left and right.
Yes,
they have to buy their own supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And so on donorschoose.org, teachers go in there and they create whatever need that they have, and then you as an outsider can adopt that teacher mm-hmm. and help fund their project in their school.
Okay.
And I'd just like to piggyback on that and say, yes, the schools are just vitally important to us. And also, I have a special group that are actually presenters for our program, and they are full-time trainers in my department. So for the most of their life, they are busy teaching professional skills to those who work at the Department of Highway Safety, but they are so involved and they feel that teen driver safety is so important that they go out and actually deliver the presentation in the schools. And we've recently been joined by our public affairs officers who are part of the Florida Highway Patrol. And we also have some nurses in different parts of the state that work together to deliver the message into the schools. And I just think that's invaluable. Mm-hmm. And each one of them brings a perspective and enrichment to the program.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma room nurses, having experienced the terrible things that they sometimes see when a teen is in a horrible crash coming into the hospital, and they're able to talk about that and about the recovery period and the kinds of things that happen and that change your life forever by making a decision that wasn't the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
The Florida Highway Patrol, they're able to talk about the things that they see on the roadways when they're responding to crashes. All of these people add an element to the program that just helps the teens to get a bigger picture, a better picture of the seriousness of driving and the importance of making good driving decisions.
Mm-hmm. Before we close, I look and we're out of time just about. I'd like to ask you to share your contact information with the listening audience. And Julianne Chester is the program manager for Drive with Care, Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. How do we contact you?
And people can contact us through the Department of Highway Safety. We have a website that is flhsmv.gov. They can also contact my office at 850-617-2692.
Tyrone Smith. Tyrone is the Director of Creative Initiatives for Students and Families. He's also the SAD Coordinator for the Quincy House in Gadsden County.
And you can contact me at cisof.us, which is our website, or the office number is 850-558-3620 at the Quincy House.
Okay. And Danielle Branciforte. Danielle is the State Coordinator of SAD, Florida SAD.
Thank you for having me here today. And folks can call me at 850-391-6211 or email me at floridasad, FLORIDASADD, at gmail.com.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming and sharing this invaluable information. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org.